Hey, this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, but doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. You see, The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Inner Shoes mission and is brought to you on apostle.net. That's where you're listening to it, right? Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. You've got to know I am ready to take this step. I'm looking forward to today's podcast. We've got a one that is really loaded, but let me start off by saying thank you and apologizing for missing Father's Day. I am sorry I missed that. Let's see, I got emails here. Johnny in Maryland, Seta in New York, Maral in Boston, and Harutyun in Burbank. All of you wishing me a happy Father's Day and saying, how could I have forgotten it? I don't know. Well, I do have a theory on that, but I'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, the wish is sincere. And one of the advantages of doing a podcast is that you don't know when people are going to be listening to this. Somebody could be listening to this episode Christmas time. So let me say, Merry Christmas. But of course, that's the point of it, isn't it? That Christmas has to be celebrated every day. And so too, Father's Day, Mother's Day. Yes, I did miss it. I got a theory on that. I did miss it. So let me say it right now. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, to all of our mothers who act as fathers, to everyone in the parenting game. Yeah, it is. In the parenting game. All of you. I've got to tell you, I've been through some emotional roller coasters this week. Just sent off a son to Armenia. He's going to be doing an internship over there and working in Armenia for a month. And there are a lot of emotions that go with that. I'm going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But let me tell you, I think what happened with Father's Day, because I'm overwhelmed by your response, like always, I think what happened was just a few weeks ago, I came to that realization. Do you remember I shared with you just a real snippet of it about this funeral I had gone to and how the Armenian Church really is not providing for the American-born congregation? Basically, you've got a diaspora that was created as a result of genocide 95 years ago. And subsequently, you have an English-speaking group of people. And definitely, Next Step is geared to that group. Obviously, our language here is English. But what happens, I serve in a parish in Glendale, California. And every Sunday, as you know, we've been... For the last 2-3 years, we've been putting our sermons up on the web, and I do them all in Armenian over there. There's basically a very small percentage that listen in English Sunday mornings. So I do my sermons in Armenian, and they are simulcast. They are immediately translated. I have the absolute best translator, and that's my sister, because she knows me even before I know me. You know, if you could understand that. I say, well, in Armenian, there's an expression. You know what a leblebu is? I believe it's a chickpea, yes? Okay, it's a chickpea. You kind of like eat it along with raisins and other yummy things. So there's an expression. If I say leb, she understands leblebu. And that has been really one of our strong points. Because, you know, a few years ago, the Catholicos came to America, the head of the Armenian Church, and said, no more English in the churches. No more English. We're doing everything in Armenian. So we circumvented that by speaking Armenian and having these small little transmitters. And so everybody who didn't speak Armenian, they would come to church and they would get these little transmitters and they would get to hear the sermon in English. Simulcast! Wow! It's like the United Nations in Glendale, you know? Anyway, we've had so much fun with these translators, and always, it's been, you know, Susie's done some translations for me too, and it's always an experience, it's always a challenge to figure out if Deadhide is going to be able to stump the translators. But I've been very fortunate. My sister Anish, Susie, they've done translations. But a couple of weeks ago, I got to the point where I said that, you know, there is a psychological factor here too. Okay? Somebody comes in and they have to hear it in English. You have to have a translator, basically admitting that there is a handicap there, a second classness to these people. And I said, enough. Especially if you remember a few weeks ago, I was sharing with you an incident that took place with a very rude and derogatory remark to this generation of American-born people who have been pillars, have been the reason why communities have gotten together around the altar table, around the churches. And basically, it was a disservice. So I said, let's start giving the sermon also in English. So just 2 weeks ago, I believe it was Father's Day, I started giving the sermon in English as well as in Armenian. And as you know, on our website, we put out our sermons. So I probably figured that, okay, our sermon is in English. It's out there. This is like one of those subconscious things that happens in the priest's head.
No brag.
Are you following me right now? It's kind of like one of those twisted things, right? Not like a pretzel. Twisted priest things, you know? Like you look out at the congregation and you see a sea of different faces. Some are happy, some are tired, some are hungry, telling you, like, hurry up, you know, it's lunchtime. Others have that kooky look like the Addams Family. And you kind of got to read it all. So anyway, a few weeks ago, we did put some of our sermons, while we're doing the English ones, we're putting those up on our website as well, at epostle.net. It's under the Sermons from Glendale category. So somewhere along the way, I probably just missed it for the next step. Also, we tape our next steps, or we record our next steps on Thursdays, far enough away from Sunday. Just kind of forgot about Father's Day. So again, happy Father's Day to everyone who's involved in the parenting game, everybody who cares, who loves, who is inspired to bring children into the world and offer them the fruits of their heart and their love. So we have an incredible show for you. Sit back, relax. Of course, if you're driving, you got this in your CD player. Do not sit back. Do not relax. Keep your eye on the road. But listen up. The whole crew is here. Ani's here with her bubbles. We've got some announcements coming up from Susie, and Ken's up in the booth. We start off all of our podcasts with a song of the day. Special request from the one who understands Leb Lebu from Leb, my sister. This is called About God by Gor Mkhitaryan.
You are the
of the sun. You're upset at night, yet you don't forget us. With the look of the moon and the shape of the stars, you beckon us.
About what you have to say, right? You have to say amen. Very beautiful. About God is the name of that song. Gor Mkhitaryan, the artist. And that's off of his Spirit album, an album that you just have to get. In a few minutes, we'll tell you how to get a copy of that. But Gor Mkhitaryan, let me tell you, if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area in a couple weeks, July 9th, he will be performing at the Levitt Pavilion. And if you mention my name at the door, you get in free. Okay, yeah, you get in free no matter whose name you mention at the door. It's actually an outdoor concert. But do come to this. It is a fantastic opportunity to see one of the great musicians that we do have, that we do claim. And second of all, you know, there's nothing finer than in Southern California being out under a starry night. It is just that cool breeze hits you right in Pasadena, and you get to hear some great music, great company. That's July 9th, Levitt Pavilion in Pasadena. And from all indications, I hear he's going to even have a special guest performer. You will not want to miss that. And this song that you just heard, About God, that comes off of the Spirit album. And as you know, we've been making that available to donors to our podcast for the last several weeks. If you're inclined to donate, Susie will tell you about it in a few minutes. We will be inclined to send you a copy of Spirit. It's a fantastic album. I mean, it puts together old world, new world, and just it captures the essence of what we talk about over here, of Armodoxy. It's that Armenian Orthodoxy for today. Spirit album, Gor Mkhitaryan, and remember, July 9th, he'll be at the Levitt Pavilion.
Freedom, 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 freedom.
I told you we were going to have a lot to talk about, and I do. I've got so many things that really took place this week, like a really roller coaster of emotions. And then it occurred to me that, you know, we have 4th of July coming up this weekend here in the United States. Well, I know. We got 4th of July coming up everywhere in the world, anywhere that there's a calendar. We've got the 3rd of July coming, and so the 4th has to follow. But for us in the United States, it is Independence Day. And just about everything I was going to talk about today has something to do with that independence, with that freedom. So if you'll bear with me, I want to talk a little bit about independence. I want to talk about our freedoms, which we have, but put it in the context of this very special passage that we read last Sunday. It comes to us from one of the evangelists. It was the gospel reading for last Sunday, and also to bring it in context with an incident that took place in my life just yesterday. I happened to see somebody I hadn't seen for years. And what transpired, or should I say did not transpire, because basically he snubbed me, he looked away and walked away. And I realized that, you know, the hatreds that we have, the animosities that we keep inside pent up, and we allow them to fester, well, what happens is that it limits our freedom. It actually not only limits our freedom, it prevents us from being those free individuals to enjoy the things that God has given us. And it comes down to, you know, remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about the chosen people. And I made the point that the real chosen people are not one nationality over the other. Rather, who are the chosen people? It's you and me. It's anyone who chooses God. When you choose God, then you become part of that chosen group. You have chosen. You have made that decision. And in the same way, you want the freedom. Don't look for other people. And we do this too many times. We look for others to set us free. We have so much baggage that we carry around in life. And that baggage wears us out. It puts a little hunchback on us, you know? We're just like, in Armenian, it's called the goose. It's called the goose effect. Oh, I give you these words only because it allows us to think, you know? Goose. When you hear of goose, you kind of like have to smile. And when you smile, you realize that, you know, I do this. I hope you do it too, you know? When you catch yourself being the bad person, you smile and you say, I can change that. I can change that positioning that I'm in. I could put my shoulders back. I don't have to have anybody ride me. I definitely don't have to have the baggage of hatred, of animosity lingering on and festering inside of me. Lingering and festering. Yeah, that's an interesting combination, huh? It lingers and then it festers. And so, well, let's take a look at this passage. This comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. And put in context, Jesus is talking about sowing seeds. Now, when I say put in context, of course, many times when we read these gospel passages, we tend to believe that Jesus is standing there and rattling off these parables or these metaphors for life, when in fact it is the evangelist who is presenting to us Jesus within a certain framework, within a context. So the evangelist Matthew has Jesus reciting a few metaphors, parables about the sower who goes out to seed and so on. Now, this second one, it's called the parable of the weeds, and it follows right afterwards. So if you look at Matthew chapter 13, it is first the parable of the sower. The parable of the weeds comes second, and third comes the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. Of course, very agricultural here. It means something to the people that were reading it at that time. People could relate to these metaphors. Now, I'd venture to say that if you came today to talk to us, Jesus would use metaphors that would have absolute incredible, profound meaning in our life today. I imagine that if he spoke to a group of engineers, he would use the terms that would engage them. If he talked to a group of physicians, he would use terms that would engage them. And if he talked to a group of farmers, he would use yet another set of terms. So let's take a look at the parable of the weeds. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and read it because it's so short, and then we'll pull it apart. This was the passage that was read. It's the lectionary passage in the Armenian Church for last Sunday. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Okay, now, this is just common. If you have a garden, if you just even have a lawn, you know that there are weeds. And what happens? You pull out the weeds. Sometimes if you get a little bit too close, you can also pull out the good grass. You can pull out the good flowers. And Jesus reminds us of this. He says, the owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go out and pull up those weeds? He answered, No, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat as well. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvester, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. Now, this parable is loaded. There is so much here that you can take, you can absorb, you can pick apart. But what I've always asked you to do, our listeners to do, is to really meditate. Take the armadoxy approach. Well, what is that armadoxy? What is the truth that we find in this story that is independent of space and time? In other words, it has to be speaking to the person 2,000 years ago, to the farmer, to the physician. It has to be speaking to the person in the Middle Ages. It has to be speaking to us, to you and me, to the engineer, to the teacher, to the philosopher. What is the truth here? Well, take some time to meditate. On its surface, well, it seems like a story about the last days. And most people will look at it and say, oh yeah, well, this is easy. Jesus is talking about the last days. He's saying that in the end, the good farmer is going to come and he's going to take out the weed and will burn the weed and he'll take the wheat and store the wheat. In other words, evil will get punished and good people will get their reward. Well, that's okay, huh? It's, I guess, a superficial reading there. There's also a theodicy here, right? It answers the question of evil. Where did the evil come from? Why does God put up with evil? If God is all-powerful, if God is all-knowing, why does he allow evil to continue? Or at least to exist? Well, there's a theodicy here. Evil came into the world. Unexpected. The enemy brought it in. And then God puts up with it. Because he doesn't want to destroy even the good ones, even a few of the good pieces of grass or the flowers. This is a theodicy. In other words, it answers that fundamental question, why does evil exist? If God is good, if he is all-powerful, wouldn't you expect that a good God, an all-powerful God, would have the upper hand on evil? So why does he allow it? Why is there evil in the world? Why is there genocide? Why is there famine? And you know, in the past, in our podcast, we've addressed this in a larger scale and actually come up with an armadoxy solution to it. But for the discussion today, you could look at this parable and say, well, here's an answer. Here is a perfect theodicy. Evil is there because the enemy came, the evil plant was planted there, and God allows it despite his superhuman ability to annihilate it. He allows it because in annihilating that evil, he may also touch the good. In other words, if one of those good is lost, then God, of course, suffers. And God does not want to suffer. So this is what we call a theodicy. It's a philosophical term. We answer this mind bender of why does God allow evil. That's fine. Now I want you to take an armadoxy approach to it. In other words, let's look deeper and find out exactly what God is talking about to us. This is not a parable about him. It's not a parable of how God works. It is about the kingdom of heaven on earth. Listen to what he says. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed. This is not about a God reality as much as it is about a human reality, about the human condition. It's talking about our ability to get along in the face of evil, even though there is evil in this world. And yeah, you could say, what are you doing? Are you splitting hairs? Is it just a case of six of one and a half a dozen of another? No, it is completely something else. It is a different story when you view it through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. Because you realize that Jesus' words are not intended to give God a direction. They're intended to give us a direction. We are the ones who are aspiring to be God-like. God is already God. He doesn't need any more discussion. Whether he tells us the inner secrets or doesn't tell us, it doesn't matter, does it? But what does matter is our relationships with one another. And in no uncertain terms, Jesus is telling us, do not judge one another. Leave that for God. As he tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, God makes his son shine, S-U-N, son, of course. He makes his sun shine on the good as well as on the bad. Likewise, he makes it rain on the good as well as on the bad. In other words, we are all equal on this planet. The idea that one group is chosen over another is absurd. We are all his children. All wars fought on this planet are what? Civil wars. Because ultimately, there are no distinctions in the eyes of God. We are all one people. And therefore, if God is not making this differentiation, why are we? If God doesn't differentiate between his children, why do we? If even in the case, not only nationalities, but even in the case of the good and the bad, he is not differentiating, why are we? And so, in a very real sense, in this parable, we understand that in this world there is evil. In this world there is good. And these two coexist. In the eyes of God, who is the evil and who is the good? Only God gets to make that call. From the cross, Jesus looks down at humanity. He looks down at you and me. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Isn't that you and me at the foot of the cross? Don't we put Christ up on that cross every time we harbor hatred? We are prejudiced and we select one over the other. Jesus is saying, that's God's business. Stay out of it. What you need to do is be able to get along in this world. You need to see every creation, every creature in this world as a product of the love of God. And once you can see that, once you understand that, what happens? You find the imperative in front of you that you have to get along. That you can't discriminate. You cannot judge another. Judgment is God's. You learn what it means to take out the huge log that is in your eye so that you can better see the speck in your brother's eye. You understand that you will be judged by the same standard that you judge, and therefore do not judge. You understand what it means, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive, by the same standard by which I forgive others. I need to forgive. I need to be loving. I need to be caring. The parable always turns around to us. It's not about a divine secret as much as it is about a human revelation, about the inner self being able to work within this world, within the confines of this world. We're going to take a break for a few minutes. I'm going to let Ani come in and do her bubbles. I'd like you to just think about these thoughts that I left you with. We're going to come back and look at independence, about freedom. We're going to talk about, well, something that happened also. I told you it was an up and down week. I had a chance to visit with some Masons. We're coming back with that. Here's Ani with today's bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is about ice cream. Last week, I took my children to a restaurant, and my 6-year-old son asked if he could say the prayer. As we bowed our heads, he said, God is good, God is great, thank you for the food, and I would thank you even more if Mom gets us ice cream for dessert, and liberty and justice for all, amen. Along with the laughter from the other customers nearby, I heard a woman remark, that's what's wrong with this country. Kids today don't even know how to pray, asking God for ice cream. Why, I never. Hearing this, my son burst into tears and asked me, did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me? As I held him and assured him that he had done a terrific job and God was certainly not mad at him, an elderly gentleman approached the table. He winked at my son and said, I happen to know that God thought that prayer was great. Really? My son asked. Cross my heart, the man replied. Then, in a theatrical whisper, he added, indicating the woman whose remark had started this whole thing, Too bad she never asks God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. Naturally, I bought my kids ice cream at the end of the meal. My son stared at his for a long moment, and then he did something I will remember for the rest of my life. He picked up his sundae and, without a word, walked over and placed it in front of the woman. With a big smile, he told her, "Here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, and my soul is good already." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Yeah. Put her in her place. See, we make that judgment, don't we? We decide that one should be put in the place while the other should go free. We do that. That's part of being human. We all do that. We judge one another by standards and measures that we have. But in the end, who needs that ice cream? We all do, don't we? We all need that ice cream. Thank you, Ani. That was very good. Very appropriate for today, too. As we're getting ready for 4th of July, I was thinking the prayer was just perfect. And liberty and justice for all. I mean, it sounds like something out of the early Superman movies, but still, you get the point. Anyway, just perfect. Because it goes right into what we were talking about today, right? We all make those judgment calls. And it's not for us to make those judgments. It's not up for that lady to make a judgment call on the boy. It's not up for the boy's family to make a judgment call on the lady. Both have their faults. Both have, well, when I say faults, they fall short of the mark of perfection. So how do we learn to get along with one another? That comes from us. That belongs to us in our domain, because the only one who can do that, who can effectuate change here in this world, is going to be you and me. And it begins with us accepting one another with all of our faults and difficulties. Hence we come to what? The Inner Shoes mission, the Inner Shoes philosophy. You can love all you want, you can talk about loving people, but until you feel another's pain, until you put your foot in the shoes of someone else, you never understand their pain. You never are at that point of really comprehending what they're going through. In other words, respecting the individual, which leads to loving one another. We are at that point where I'm going to let Susie make her announcement, then we'll come back. We got a lot more to talk about. A lot of neat things happened. I'm going to share with you. Here's Susie with today's announcement.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. And just another reminder, a quick reminder, all this month we are making the Gore Spirit CD available to everyone who makes a donation to the Apostle Ministry. And for a donation of $250 or more, the next tier, what we're doing is we've compiled the first 2 years. We've got a beautiful collector's edition. It's the first 2 years of The Next Step. Every single episode, and as a bonus, we've also included the Lenten Journey series in there. They come to you on CDs as MP3 files. It's a high quality. Like, if you think this is high quality, wait till you hear what we're sending you. I think it's a little bit nicer. Anyway, it will be the audiophile's dream come true. But it also is a solid way for you to make a statement, for you to say, I want to get involved. I want to do something for this ministry that is very important. So if you're inclined to give, please go on our website, epostle.net, press on the donate button, or one of the other ways that we are now encouraging people, because I guess people are still into checks, which we don't mind, you know, that's kind of neat. You can send in your donation to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stocker Street, Glendale, California, 91202, and that's in the United States of America.
Ooh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Everybody. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Sing it, sister.
Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave.
We are still hovering around topic of freedom, around concepts about freedom, independence, as Independence Day, the 4th of July here in the United States, comes this weekend, and we have a chance to really reflect on what is independence. To me, it is very spiritual, I have to tell you. You know, the Declaration of Independence is a very spiritual document, and of course, this can be misconstrued as some kind of an American bias that I might have, but I think it's beyond that. I mean, you just heard Harry Belafonte, and you've got this little gospel chorus talking about freedom. It's always been freedom. Independence is uniquely tied in with Christ, uniquely tied in with the Christian message of liberation. When you've got a document like the Declaration of Independence, 4th of July, 1776, that's when this was signed. I mean, let me just read you the first paragraph, couple paragraphs. I mean, it is so intense. It is religious. There's no question about it. And more than anything else, it is spiritually liberating. Spiritually liberating. I mean, listen to it. Let me read it to you. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So here we're going to hear now the causes. Why are we separating? And here it is. It's just so beautiful. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let me just, it's so beautiful. Let me just go back. Listen, unalienable. They are endowed by their Creator. What are the rights? Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. From the Creator, you are created free. It continues that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving that just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter and to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. I really challenge you this week, you know, download a copy of the Declaration of Independence. Just look at what is being said. Take a moment to meditate on these concepts. I had a discussion just a few days ago with some Masons. You know what was interesting about it was, whatever your feeling may be about what they believe, what was interesting was their conviction. Their conviction to do good. Their conviction and commitment to a God that was higher than themselves. And I listened to them. What they were talking about is doing good. Finding that freedom that we talk about in the acts of kindness, the acts of charity. And to become a Mason, there were quite a many steps. It wasn't inalienable. It wasn't your right to be a Mason. You have to go through the steps. You have to give something of yourself. You had to go through degrees. And while they were trying to explain it to me, I think I understood it quite well. It's basically, there are no freebies. You want to become a Mason, you need to commit to it. You need to commit to the philosophy, and you need to buy into it to the tune that you're willing to sacrifice yourself. Whether it's a few nights a week to go and learn what they're teaching you, whether it's many, many more nights or a lifetime to learn the secrets that they want to expound. When we come to our church, we come to our faith. Many times we take it for granted. Many times we don't want to invest the time, the energy, the meditation, to learn what God has in store for us, to learn to say yes to God, to learn what freedom is all about, to learn how important it is to be considered a child of the Heavenly Father. We take it for granted. And in taking it for granted, we lose something. We lose something that, well, should be an inalienable right. The right to be called a child of God. I challenge you, whether you celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day, or whether it's just another date on your calendar, whatever country you may be in, take an opportunity now to really look at what independence is in your life. What are the freedoms that you enjoy? How do you come about those freedoms? Who has sacrificed for those freedoms? And what is the ultimate freedom that you have? I started off this podcast by telling you a terrible thing that happened to me. I met somebody who was filled with hatred, who didn't have it in himself to forgive. And so he was all of a sudden found in a bondage. He was bound by his fears, bound by his animosity, bound by the hatred that had taken over his heart. And because he was bound, he was not free to enjoy life. There is a bondage, there is a servitude that we bring upon ourselves. It's not caused by God. Freedom is one we can declare. There are people who are behind bars that feel free. There are people who see the open spaces and feel bound. True freedom begins in your heart. Governments can't give it to you. People can't give it to you. It's up to you to be able to say, I am a child of God. I love in my heart. I am extending myself. And yes, people have hurt me, but I'm willing to forgive. I am willing to look from God's perspective and say, they do not know what they are doing, and move forward with my life. That's the challenge of the 4th of July as Independence Day. And I wish you all the best as you take on this challenge to look at the freedom that is just, well, just a call away.
Freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes
one of the greatest tragedies that I see as a priest are people who have freedom and not only abuse the freedom, but even more than that, are just unaware of what a precious gift that freedom of life is. And in particular, I'm talking about people who take drugs, people who are consumed by the culture of materialism, and they lose sight of the importance of what life is all about. Here in Glendale, California, we go through some very difficult times because there is a culture that is being hit upon this new immigrant community at lightning speed. And it is a culture which attracts, it is a culture which, well, it consumes. And it is the culture of drugs. Here in Glendale, many of the young people are involved in drugs. And very few people, well, what we call in Armenian the ostrich mentality, very few people are willing to take their head out of the sand and call it as such. One such person is a young man named Ara Arzumanian. He's going to be our guest next week, and I invite you to tune in to The Next Step. We're going to have Ara Arzumanian, who works with young people, talking about some of the challenges that he has on the streets of Glendale. You're going to find it very interesting. But in the meantime, I'm going to point you to his article, which is being featured in Ararat Magazine. And you can find it online. We'll put it on our show notes. It's Ararat, A-R-A-R-A-T, magazine.com. And you want to check it out. Ara Arzumanian, he'll be our guest next week. He's written a piece in the magazine, The Lost Kids of Armenian America. Don't miss it. Hey, listen, it has been a pleasure to be with you today. I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as we've enjoyed preparing it for you. Please take it easy this weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Be safe. Safe and sane fireworks, they tell us. But if you're not doing fireworks, I'm saying this because I know there's a lot of you that are outside of our United States listening to us. I appreciate you listening. I hope that you understand we're not talking about an American celebration. We're talking about real freedom. It's a freedom that I believe is the cornerstone to Armodoxy. It's why a group of people named Armenians, landlocked and against all the odds, still talk about freedom, that never gave up, that never succumbed to the evils of slavery. But we're always one ahead of the game because they had a true devotion, a devotion in a God who will make the person free, who will make us whole, who makes us complete. That's Armodoxy. And that's what you've been invited to listen to. I hope you enjoyed it today. For the wonderful crew who puts all this together, well, before that, let me just tell you, join us on our website, inissues.org, as well as apostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. You'll find links to all kinds of stuff at these two websites, and we are ready for some major updates. You're going to see them in the next few days. Join us again next week. As I said, we'll have a guest interview you're going to enjoy. So now I could say, for the wonderful crew who puts this podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ani with her bubbles, for Ken up in the booth, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.